Hey guys, my name's Chris. I have a new life in Christ, and I struggle with shame, fear of rejection, and that's turned itself into codependency. Hey, let me pray. Father, I love you so much, Father. Just thank you for letting me be up here to tell our story, this part of our story. And just can't wait to see what the future holds for you and I. Just pray this in your son's name. Amen. All right. So, the last 3 years have been some of the toughest years of my life. They've been full of trial after trial. Things happened that I thought never would. I lost 3 jobs, and which is something I've always lived in fear of. And during this time of unemployment, my wife and I suffered many financial losses, including needing a new fence and an air conditioner, multiple pool repairs, and household maintenance. And we had to take money out of our savings and 401k. And to top it off, part of it, my oldest daughter, during these 3 years, became pregnant out of wedlock. And then a year later, had a second child. She finds her significance with men. And found out, too, my youngest daughter, that she was struggling with cutting during this time as well. I do have 2 beautiful granddaughters now. God handled all of this with mercy and overwhelming love. I've applied this scripture to my circumstances right now. It's Romans 5, 3-5. But we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Ironically, these 3 years have also been the best of my life. Give you the backstory now. So I was born the oldest of seven, one brother and 5 sisters. I can remember how it felt to be the center of my mom's attention before the others started coming along. I also remember what it felt like to start sharing the spotlight, and also my mom saying more than once that I could entertain myself for hours. Reality was that I didn't really have a choice, which resulted in rejection entering my world, and I began to live in fear of it. And rejection's been a core struggle that has led to many other sin patterns in my life: shame, pride, and codependency, to name a few. At the age of 10, I was introduced to porn by a classmate. He had showed me a picture that he'd torn out of one of his dad's magazines, and so, and lust entered my heart, or into my life rather, at that early age. Porn was a world that I'd live in for the next 27 years, a world where I could be in control and could never be rejected. At the age of 12, I was diagnosed with epilepsy. Shame entered my life then. I started having small 2-second seizures that would cause my mind and my body to twitch, and I'd lose my train of thought and drop things or just jerk. My disease was never talked about. It was hidden from my grandparents and siblings. I just think my parents didn't know what to do with it, and they felt they were protecting me. So I went about my business, some days with small seizures, some days with none. I was still able to go to school, and it was never a thought that I should stay home. In school, I found it hard to focus in class after these mini seizures. I would forget or miss what the teacher had said, and it became very difficult to keep up with curriculum during this time. Not succeeding in school as well as I would have liked increased the shame that I felt, and this was quickly becoming part of who I thought I was. I learned during those years and years to come that this disease was also something I needed to hide, because if others knew about it, they would look at me differently, like I was flawed and less of a man. I believe on some level I even tried to hide it from myself. In my mind, my identity was becoming Chris the Epileptic. My dad left when I was 16. I knew about the affair long before my mom did, years before my mom did, and I never told her, had no idea how I could tell her, of course. But after he left, there were times that we didn't have enough food. The church brought us food. Church provided Christmas presents for us. My mom could only find part-time work, and with seven kids, food just didn't go very far at all, of course. And this was another time of shame for me. My teens and early 20s were filled with alcohol and drugs. There was a period of time I even sold drugs to support that habit. This substance abuse, along with the porn, provided me a means of escape and a short-lived reprieve from the shame that defined me. At the age of 20, my then-girlfriend and I became pregnant. So we made the decision to have an abortion, and I regret that decision more than anything else in my life. In my mind, God was at church, and I could hide from him by not attending. After all, my only relationship with Christ was through a priest. Therefore, I wasn't in church. Therefore, if I wasn't in church, God didn't know about my sin. Years later, after accepting Christ, the full gravity of what I had done hit me like a ton of bricks. So I broke down sobbing and prayed to God for forgiveness. And God has healed my heart, but I still feel that regret. Since that time, I've penned a letter to my child in my heart, claiming him as my own, as my son, and giving him the name David, which means blessed. And even today, I still feel so much regret just not knowing or not having that experience of watching him grow up or what he'd be like now. So, even after accepting Christ, I have been a man filled with shame because of the way God made me. Ruled by fear and of being rejected and dependent upon others for my self-worth. My youngest daughter was born 3 months premature, and this was the catalyst of me hitting rock bottom and knowing that I had no outs or deals to make with God. I had to do something different. My mother's prayed for me since I was a child, but as an adult, I had mocked her for being a Christian. So how fitting it was that during yet another hopeless time in my life, it was my mom who eventually led me to Christ. Fast forward, my marriage of 16 years ended in divorce in 2004. Miraculously, around the time of my divorce, God completely removed my desire for porn, or the desire for porn, from my heart and mind, and it's been 13 years now that I've been free of that addiction. After the divorce, one of my sisters introduced me to Watermark, where I began attending and participating in several ministries, including divorce care and single parents. Over the course of time, I met and befriended a woman at Watermark, and she eventually became my wife. Before we married, she suggested that we go through Regen, which is called Celebrate Recovery back then. And being codependent as I was, I thought what she suggested sounded like a good idea, even though I didn't think I had any struggles to work on at that time. Me being codependent had been mentioned to me by others, including my wife, of course, but I never really connected the dots. One of the many God-given revelations that came out during that first round of recovery was that I began to accept and openly talk about my epilepsy. I was still very ashamed, and I had never spoken to that to anybody ever up until that time. I was still very ashamed of this disease, however, and minimized it at every turn. I began to slowly realize how much my disease controlled me, with the support of the men in my group and the demonstration of God's love working through them. I began to slowly let go and allow God in to begin a healing work in my heart. 2008, Leslie and I were married. 3 months later, she discovered a large amount of debt that I had lied about and brought into our marriage. As you can imagine, this breaking of trust early in our marriage was devastating and created much hardship and conflict. Sum it up, I co-led in Regen 3 more times for various struggles, with each time leaving me feeling fixed and that I didn't have to deal with those past sins anymore. I mistakenly thought that recovery had a beginning and an ending, and that the sins I was struggling with at the time would go away. It was like a class in which I was enrolled, and at completion I could advance to the next course. While God did do a mighty work in me each time I went through, I still wasn't seeing how my struggles were all connected and just didn't go away the way I thought without God's intervention on an ongoing basis. As I said in the beginning of this, the last 3 years have been wonderfully tough. At the loss of the first job, I made a conscious decision to watch God work in my life in the present instead of waiting to look back in hindsight to see where he had shown up. Little did I know, I would have plenty of time in those 3 years to grow closer to God and spend more and more time getting to know his word, getting to know him. I began to rest in his peace that he had truly had a plan for my life despite my present circumstances. I had plenty of time in those long days to actually sit on the couch in his presence and talk to him like a father. And grow in my relationship with him. I'm so grateful that God touched my heart in such a loving way and afforded me that time in my life to know him more and more. Moses asked God to show him his glory. I asked him for the same. And he has shown himself to me in ways that I could never have imagined. I had those nights free, so I went to hear some of the testimonies at Regen. They've moved me, of course, but I was looking at all the other people there. I kept thinking that they had something I didn't. They were standing and singing with their hands in the air during worship. Remember, I'd already been through about, 4 times now. So I felt sorry for them because they had nothing else. And they were in so much pain. I could tell. Hang on. I felt sorry. They were standing and singing. I felt sorry for them that they were in so much pain. I could tell they had nothing else, of course, and had been. And me being fixed, I couldn't relate to them. They had great stories, huge struggles that God used in a mighty way. Alcoholics, drug addicts, porn addicts, and so on. This is where it got kind of weird. Why couldn't I have one of those big struggles so that I could have a great story of redemption? So at that point, God decided to turn my head around on my past, and he and I had a chuckle together, and I saw that I actually was the worst of the worst. I had some pretty big struggles, so I had to jump with joy, so to speak, and I smiled with joy because now I got it. I had what everybody else did, only Jesus, and what a feeling that was and is. This is the 5th time now I've gone through Regen, the 1 time as a participant, and my 4th time as a co-leader. Each time has made me stronger and more aware of the struggles I deal with. Each time I have learned more insight that I can pass on to my close group guys. It's been 10 years of recovery. My moment of clarity hit me this time, though. I was finally ready to really see what God wanted to show me all those years, I guess. During inventory, I saw the pattern of shame and self-hatred and the fear of being rejected had produced a core issue called codependency. And I really, really hate that word. But now I can admit it. I see the sin patterns that's caused and causes in my life. And now I can use the step tools I've learned in Regen to attack it and do something different. Also, during inventory, I had another big aha moment. An example was given in the book of a man lying by a pool of water waiting for someone to carry him to the pool since he was an invalid and couldn't walk. It's John 5:6-8 says, When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the man replied, "I have no one to help me to the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." So you see, I, like the man at the pool, had been waiting to be fixed. Now I can finally see that this is about healing, not fixing, and only Christ is a healer. He's really asking us if we can really, if we really want to be healed. Regen's not a quick fix, it's a healing process. For some, it takes a little longer than others. Got in here, don't worry, because I've never heard of it taking 10 years for anybody but me. So stay. Hopefully it won't be 10 years for you. That being said, recovery is a lifelong process of God revealing to us the sin struggles that we have and how deep they go. Through Regen, he provides us with the tools we need to identify the sin, root it out, deal with it, and then lean in and use those struggles to further deepen our relationship and intimacy with Christ. With my newfound struggle with an acceptance of codependency, I can now see the effect it's had on our marriage. The way I communicate with Leslie is dependent upon how she interacts with me. My mood is dependent on her mood. If I'm having a good day and hers isn't so great, then my day changes. If I smile and she frowns, I get a sinking feeling inside, and so on, continued craziness. I now see that I need to be dependent on God only. Anything or anybody else is pure sin. I really wish I could stand here and tell you guys that how great our marriage is, like so many others have, but I can't yet. There's stuff that I need to own, healing that has to happen, but we know that the greatness is coming, and we just have to do the work to catch up to it. At least now I have a target to hit and a plan to do something different. The plan comes from step 6, repent. It's been hard to actually have a plan for recognizing codependent behavior in myself. What I've started doing is asking myself if I'm responding in a defensive manner that stems from a fear of rejection. And then I remind myself to do something different, whatever that looks like, to know that my significance is found in Christ and no others. Now that the codependent behavior has come to the surface, it gives my community group guys a focal point to hold me accountable from. They have more of a ground zero to work from, and the bullseye of my targets becoming and being totally dependent on Christ and no other. Isaiah 43:18-19, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" While we'll never have a perfect marriage, we can have a better one if we stay focused and dependent on God, not ourselves. Just going to say it, I didn't write this down, but just a word of praise. So with my epilepsy, I always feel a seizure coming on in the mornings. And 3 years ago, came out with a medication that's a rescue medication. So if I feel a seizure coming on, I can take it and I'm fine. And that's been great. I've been seizure free for 3 years. And then December, my doctor put me on a different mix of medications. And normally in the mornings, I'd live in fear at night, trying to keep a regimented schedule, get to bed on time, don't wake up too early, all that, just fearful. And a lot of times my thoughts, I couldn't articulate myself, couldn't get the proper word out, just depending on the day. Some days I had more clarity than others. Now, it's amazing now with that medication change. So now I'm able to actually wake up like a normal person, like I'm sure most of you guys do. And I'm able to wake up, get out of bed, and just go on with my day with no fear and no. Okay. So I want to close with what I've learned from the book of Job. We all know the storyline, but I found there to be so much more to it than what I thought. So with Job, God said there was no one on earth like him. He said that Job was blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. So why would he allow the things to happen to Job that happened? Why so much pain? So in Job 1, everything is taken away from him, even the lives of his family. And so what does Job do? He falls down in worship and praises the name of the Lord. Job 1:22, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. In Job 2:10, he says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And then just the most amazing part of it, just the most amazing thing. This brother is sitting down with sores and just unbelievable pain, I'm sure, just unimaginable pain. Sitting there in his filth, and this brother just says a prayer. That tells so much about his relationship with God. So Job 6:8-10, oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for, that God would be willing to crush me, to let loose his hand and cut me off. Then I would still have this consolation, my joy and unrelenting pain, that I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Seriously. I mean, right in the middle of that pain, he's telling God, give me more. I want to get closer. Give me more. And the pain brought him joy. It's unbelievable. It brought him joy to be in that spot, knowing that God had him, and he knew that God was with him at all times, and that God knew best. He knew that their relationship would grow stronger through the trials, and Job found great joy in the fact that he would never blame God or question his goodness. You can see that joy in King David as well. In the 12 years in the pit, he wrote the Psalms. He sung with joy, praise God as well. Now, in relation to me, I don't compare myself to Job at all, of course, but as odd as it might sound, I found and I feel honored and humbled that my God would care enough about me to crave a deeper relationship with me, to share more of himself and create a desire within me for him, a longing and yearning for him, and that he'd use these trials to accomplish just that. It might sound nuts to some of you, but it makes perfect sense to me. When the trials come, we move closer to God. When things get better, we all tend to forget about him a bit until we need him again. The thing that I fear most in my life now is that this would happen to me and that I might forget and move away from this beautiful place that I'm in with God. So now I pray for the trials. I pray that they don't stop. I know that God uses everything for his glory and our goodness. And I just can't wait to find out more about him, learn more about him. So if this is your first time here, I just want to say way to go. It's the hardest thing coming in, I think, the first time is just admitting that you have a problem and willing to do something about it. So, way to go. It's a great place to be. God shows up. Christ shows up every time. Never fail. So come back. Come back a second. Some of you have been here for 6 months waiting for a group. It'll happen. I promise. The thing about Regen that I found out is the 12 steps are a continuous thing. It's a tool that we use, but Jesus is the center of all healing. He's the one that shows up. He's the one that does the healing. So just want to pray for you guys. Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for this group of people, this group of your children, and their willingness to come, Lord. And I just pray against so much pain, Father. So much healing needs to be done. I just pray for them, Lord, that you'll give us all just the peace tonight at least, and that you'll show your love and mercy to us, Lord. And I just love you, Lord. Thank you for telling the story. It's in your name I pray. Amen.